We now bring to these microphones David James. David is joining me here at the broadcast table for the purpose of looking at a particular issue. There was a former pastor and a GOP candidate for a House of Representatives seat in North Carolina. Well, he won the seat. And I wanted to talk to David about a statement that man made concerning the only solution for peace in Israel. And since David is in Israel, I thought it'd be a great platform from which we can talk about what one trip to Israel meant to this representative in the United States Congress. David, I guess we catch you there in Israel this week, and you've traveled from Jerusalem down the Jordan Valley. As I understand it, you were in Jerusalem today, traveled down the Jordan Valley, and you're now on the Red Sea in Eilat. Is that correct?
That's absolutely right. We had a great trip. You know, it's a long way down from Jerusalem down to well below sea level, 1,400 some feet below sea level to the Dead Sea. We stopped off in Qumran and learned about the discoveries of the Dead Sea Scrolls, had a chance to take a dip on top of the Dead Sea because you float right up on top of it, and then made our way on down here to Eilat. And tomorrow we head into Petra, the place that we believe God is going to protect the nation of Israel against the onslaught and attacks of the Antichrist in the tribulation, which we'll probably get to a little bit later.
Well, let me ask you, how's this experience leading your first tour to the land of the Bible?
You know, one of the things that I could say winds my clock about being a Bible teacher anywhere around the world and why I do it is to see things come together for students that I'm teaching, and it's just been a joy for those that I've been leading on this tour for me to see their eyes light up as they learn things and connect dots and things they hadn't necessarily thought of, and just reinforcing things they already knew. And I tell you, it's been a great learning experience for me. I've been teaching the Bible for 30 years, and I still have learned a lot on this trip.
I know that for sure. I've been doing it for now almost 30 years myself, and it is a blessing every time I go to Israel to have that great classroom to teach the prophetic word of God. And I've got to tell you, going over to Petra, that's going to be a wonderful experience for you and the tour group as you go there to Petra, one of the most unique cities. In fact, it's one of the seven wonders of the world. I hope you have a good time. Well, just prior, David, to the midterm elections, one of Israel's major news outlets, Haaretz, published a negatively toned article concerning a GOP candidate for a U.S. House seat in the United States Congress. He's from North Carolina. And because of his comments that he made after a trip to Israel several years ago, they were pretty much upset about it. Explain what that's talking about.
Well, we're talking about Mark Harris, and I'd just like to share with our listeners some of the things that are really interesting about Mark Harris. He was the senior pastor of the First Baptist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, and resigned last year to run for the U.S. House, which, as you mentioned, he won in the 9th District just this past week. He also has a master's and a doctorate from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, which is a school that Paige Patterson turned around from the moderate Southern Baptist to a conservative Southern Baptist. And so he certainly made statements that I think you and I would agree with. And it was a trip, as you mentioned, one of his trips to Israel, I think maybe his first trip to Israel, that really made a tremendous impact on him.
Can you give us a feel for some of what Mark Harris said as a pastor about that trip to Israel and how it impacted his thinking, but also and his life and ministry and how this was characterized by CNN?
Well, I sure can give a very exact idea of what he said, because it was actually quoted not only by CNN, but in the Israeli outlet that you mentioned. He said this after his trip: "You cannot be in that land, as powerful and as moving as it is, without realizing the incredible tension that is constantly in that land between the Palestinians and the Jews." And then he went on to say this: "There will never be peace in Jerusalem until the day comes that every knee shall bow every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then he went on to say that no Jewish or Muslim resident of Jerusalem could find peace unless they accepted Jesus Christ. And then he also went on to say, Jesus, when he went into Jerusalem, said, I'm the vine, I'm the true vine. And then he said, until those who are called in Islam realize that, until those who are called in Judaism realize that, and for that matter, though, until those who are caught up in the religion of Christianity and are missing the personal relationship with Jesus Christ realize that, there will never be peace in their soul or peace in their city. Those are some incredible statements by this man of God who is now in the U.S. Congress.
That's absolutely right, David. And Pastor Mark Harris, or should I say Congressman Mark Harris, was right on target teaching the Word of God. David, as you and I have discussed so many times on this program, Harris made it exactly right concerning both the peace of individuals and the peace of Israel and Jerusalem, and that it will only come through the person of Jesus Christ.
That's exactly right. And one of the things that I did not mention in answering your question, the last part of your question, was how his statement was characterized by CNN. What Jared quoted was saying that CNN also found multiple other instances of Harris making Islamophobic remarks. Now, these were not Islamophobic remarks. They were not against the nation of Israel. In fact, no one could be more for the nation of Israel than someone who wants to see the Jewish people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The same is true of those in Islam, and the same is true for those who are part of the Christendom around the world that have not heard the gospel and don't understand what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ because of his shed blood on the cross and his resurrection. Just as peace can only come to individuals through Jesus Christ, there will not be peace in Jerusalem, in the Middle East, or actually anywhere on this earth until Christ returns, as described in Revelation 19, when he returns to set up his kingdom with its headquarters actually there on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, where we just were today.
David, you and I also know that the stage is being set and the world is being prepared for a massive deception concerning a false peace that will be brought about by a coming world leader.
That's exactly right. This person is described in some places in the scriptures as the Antichrist, as I mentioned in the opening there. He's also described in Revelation 13 as the beast from the sea. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he is referred to as a man of lawlessness and the son of perdition. And in Daniel chapter 9 and Matthew 24, he is referred to as the abomination that causes desolation. And he will, according to Daniel chapter 9, after the rapture of the church, he will put together a peace treaty, which I believe is designed to protect Israel from her Islamic enemies, and he will bring lying wonders and deceive the world into perhaps actually believing, many actually believing, that he is the true Savior, but he will offer a false peace that he will make clear that it's a false peace, because halfway through the seven-year tribulation period, he will break that treaty with Israel and turn on the nation and become the worst enemy that they've ever had.
So from a biblical perspective, David, how would you lay out a likely general scenario for what the world is rushing toward so quickly as the stage is being set for fulfilled prophecy, with both the false and the true peace that lies ahead?
Well, one of the things that I've heard you say so many times, and I've actually adopted it into my teaching as well, the phrase that the next event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church, described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where all believers in Christ from the day of Pentecost until that moment, those who are dead in Christ will be caught up to meet him in the air. Those of us who may be alive, or those who are alive and remain till he comes in the air, will be caught up and taken back to heaven with him as God's wrath is poured out upon the earth during what is called Daniel's 70th week. Before Daniel's 70th week starts, the Roman Empire will be revived, as described in Daniel chapter 2 in the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. The Antichrist will rise up out of that that revived Roman Empire to a position of world power. He will make that treaty to protect Israel from her Islamic enemies, and what I will believe will be the vacuum created by the collapse of Israel's only protector in the world, and that is the United States. Halfway through that seven-year period, he'll break that treaty. He will go after the nation of Israel. God will protect that nation, the nation of Israel, in what Petra will be tomorrow. At the midpoint of the tribulation, the Antichrist will go into the rebuilt temple and declare himself to be God, and will be waging all-out war against the inhabitants of the earth. During that three-and-a-half-year period that is left before Christ returns, God will continue to pour out judgments upon the earth. Christ will touch down on the Mount of Olives, as described in Revelation 19 and Zechariah 14. He will go to the Jezreel Valley and defeat all of the armies of the world and be ready to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years on this earth. That is what is coming, that is what is ahead, and that's what people must be ready for.
They must be ready for it, and it's absolute because it's biblical. It's prophetic truth that will be fulfilled. David, you and I both have a great concern about how we can share in telling people how they can be ready for death, which can happen, of course, to any of us at any moment. We're only a heartbeat away from death. However, if you're alive and on this earth when the rapture does take place, we want to be able to help you understand the coming deception of the Antichrist, which David has alluded to here, and the coming wrath of God against this world. David, talk to us about this.
That's right. Well, there was a religious leader in Israel named Nicodemus in John chapter 3 who came to Jesus at night asking about the coming kingdom of God, and Jesus said, no one can know and enter the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And we are born again, we have our sins forgiven and receive the free gift of eternal life by hearing, understanding, believing the gospel, that is, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God himself, came to this earth to be a man, to be the perfect sacrifice and sin offering for our sins. And on the third day, he arose from the grave so that salvation is a package deal. Forgiven sin on the basis of his shed blood and eternal life on the basis of his resurrection. And if somebody places their faith and trust in Christ, they can know for certain that they have a home with the Lord when they die, and they will avoid the tribulation period. Or if they actually enter into it, they need to understand that they need to trust in Christ for salvation.
My dear friend, if you've been eavesdropping on this conversation, that is the pure gospel truth. Now, if you did not get all of it, I would suggest you go to my website, prophecytoday.com, go to PTRN, and re-listen to this interview, and especially that part on how to trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Excellent job on giving the gospel, David, and a great job on talking about the victory for Mark Harris, both as being able to stand up as a pastor and teach the truth, and then now become a member representing the North Carolina district in Charlotte, and he's in the House of Representatives that's located right here where we are in Washington, D.C., producing our documentary on the United States in Bible prophecy. Remember to pray for us, if you will. David, sounds like you're having a great time. I'm sure the tour group is enjoying it and learning so much as you are their teacher and their guide as well. Thank you for doing that ministry for us here on Prophecy Today. Have a great time in Petra. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. It's always great to spend some time with you.
We're going to take a break right here, and we're going to take a look at the book, Open the Bible Ourselves, and talk about what the broadcast partners had to say and how it fits into God's prophetic word, a prophetic perspective on the news. That's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.